And I would say that of the couple of thousand people who stood up, I could look at them 2 or 3 weeks later and tell you they weren't really fasting. And yet there was such pressure to go along with the crowd and the fear of man and say you were going to do something that you really weren't going to do or that you wouldn't supernaturally be empowered to do. Do you know how hard it was sitting there when people had seen me run up to the altar praying for my son? Am I mad at the pastor? No, he had no idea. Do I think a spirit was involved? I certainly do. I didn't bow to the devil. And my son is alive. And he's almost completely healed. And God has taught me so much, I wouldn't change it for anything. But do you ever wonder what would have happened if you'd submitted to authority that was taking the place of God? And do you want to know how much this is happening in our churches? I'm not bashing churches. I am totally against a spirit of the enemy taking the place of the Holy Spirit leading God's people. And I am completely ready to let them throw the stones to declare what the Word of God says. But I think in this, and this is just one of a lot of examples of, as God's been teaching me this, of what I would call abuse. And I won't give you all of them. It's unbelievable. I had fire called down on me from the altar, and they said they were going to carry me out dead if I didn't repent. I forgot what I was supposed to repent of. Oh, if I wouldn't admit that I was Jezebel and prophesied falsely. Because I just got done prophesying what the pastor was doing in the back room before the service. Now, I didn't know it was the pastor I was prophesying about, but he and his elders knew. And one of the elders told us later I was on target. But anyway, of course, they counted to three and everything. No, I'm serious. They even told the kids in the children's church that the false prophetess was dying and was going to be carried out. And wouldn't you love to have your kids in that Royal Ranger program? And it was very serious because I prayed and I pleaded the blood. I had no idea. The pastor never even called and talked to me. Never. He was going to edit my book. We were friends. I cleaned the toilets in the church because God made me. And then out of nowhere, without even being talked to, a spirit of control tried to make me come and bow before it. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, do you want me to go up and bow just to bring peace into this place? And, you know, Lord, and the Lord said to me, he said, if you do, you will be so deceived. I thought, oh, I don't want that. And then I felt like an angel sat on me because I felt such a heavy presence sit on me to stop me from going up. And then they counted to three. I didn't die, which should have been a pretty good idea that somebody missed it and it wasn't me. And at that point, this pastor, who was one of the best teachers, since that time, God has closed him down. He's no longer preaching at all. Church went from 400 to about 40 within 5 or 6 months of him blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Had nothing to do with me. I didn't call anybody. Didn't try to get anybody to leave. Nothing. I walked in love. Even brought presents. I'm just telling you, there is a real authority. And when you minister in God's authority, God takes care of you. You don't have to take care of yourself. Amen. And all the person said at the end was, well, by the fruit you'll know it. And then they preached. And I'm telling you the truth. And this pastor could preach. It is a shame that the enemy won. It is not good that this pastor is no longer preaching. The truth is, I never knew anyone who could go through so many scriptures so fast and had the ability to teach other people the Word of God locally. I don't know if I know of anyone anywhere who had this man's gifting. And that Satan won because of pride is a shame. It's horrible. I was really praying when I stood in love against it that he wouldn't fall. But after that particular thing happened, God has got such a sense of humor because this person said, by the fruit you'll know it. And then for an hour, all he could preach on was dog doodle and snails. Isn't that weird that God could get a person who normally covered 30 or 40 scriptures in an hour to not be able to say anything but those two things. And he even said, I don't know why I'm talking about this. And then the Lord said to me, by the fruit you'll know it. Yeah, something else was talking, whatever. It was amazing. I thought, wow, Lord. I said, Lord, you are really something. That you can also be in charge of what we can and can't say, because a man could preach. And I'm just saying that because I'm just telling you, I'm not talking little abuse. I'm talking some major abuse. And so when this thing with Karen came up, what I realized I had done, and some of you have done this, so we're going to pray this because we're going to talk about these different governments. But what I have done is I went to the extreme to say, I don't ever want to tell God's people what to do. In other words, God, I don't want any kind of government position in the body of Christ. Now, I didn't know that's what I was saying, but with the hurt and the rebellion, see what I did? I rebelled against the natural authority because I saw the perversion of people claiming natural authority was authority in Christ. And so what happened was, then God gives me a ministry and it's growing and I have to do these things. And it was too hard to do it. Now, let me cross this over to some of you parents. Some people really cannot discipline their children because they were hurt by their parents operating with a demonic authority instead of a natural authority. And then if there was a religious spirit, they could have also had a religious spirit operating and acting like it was the Holy Spirit as they were being parented. And see, Karen went through a very critical kind of parenting. And then one part was critical and the other part overcompensated by having no rules. So in her heart, and I'm talking to a lot of you now, in her heart, she judged the system. See, you get rebellion when you judge God's system. Okay, when you say, I'll never be a parent in your heart, or I never want to have to act like a parent. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, because she has rebellion in her heart, there she is, in the area of parenting. See, we've already talked about judgments. Judgment is whatever you judge, you'll become. And we got tapes on that. But we never talked about the rebellion that comes in. And last week, this all ties together. Last week we talked about provoking. Don't provoke your fathers, don't provoke your children. And no one should provoke. And it was a powerful message. And that's when my son got free, because God showed me where I provoked. And provoking is stirring people into action. And it can be with teasing, it can be with jokes, it's not just yelling or screaming at people, it can be. And God began to show me how I provoked instead of just communicating with my kids. Some of us come, I came from a family where if you liked each other, you provoked each other. But it's unscriptural. Because what it does is it stirs up action instead of the Holy Spirit leading. And so we got free from that. Well, those tips will be out soon. It was powerful. That's when my son got free the other night. So God's putting this all together for me. A father who provokes. A father represents God in the natural, in the family unit. I can't get in all that. It's all this other teaching. Every relationship represents something about the kingdom. Get a hold of that. Every natural relationship is to reflect a truth about a supernatural relationship in a supernatural kingdom. And so God says, don't provoke, because you're going to stir into the action with the wrong spirit. And then you're going to have rebellion and then rage and anger. But Lord began to show me, when you provoke, when you're provoked, when you're criticized, when you're told you can't have a say, when you're, whatever it is, that's not led of the spirit parenting, whatever it is, you cause that child to rebel against honoring the mother and the father. Then what happens when you grow up, you now have rebellion in your heart. And maybe you go to church, you read the word of God, you got the fruit of the spirit. So you got that rebellion there, but it doesn't really show up, right? That's Karen. She doesn't seem rebellious at all. She's a woman full of the fruit of the spirit of God. And so then it's confusing. Why do I feel this? Why do I feel like I can't control them. Why do I feel like, and I'm saying control in the sense, why can't I discipline them? Why can't I help them get rid of this rebellion? You know what? And this is a scripture and we all know it. And the scripture says, unless you take the log out of your eye, you cannot touch the splinter in your brother's eye. That log of rebellion that was purposely placed inside of you by the enemy is to stop you from moving in any kind of authority that can glorify God. Satan knows what he's doing, folks. That's why when we looked at 1 Peter, and if you look at Ephesians, you'll begin to see all the different governments or authority that God has placed. One way you can study that, go look at honor. If you can't honor someone, you're rebelling against God's command to honor them. So Satan sets up stuff where there's no way I'm going to honor my parents. With me, there's no way I'm going to honor church leadership. It's not that blatant. Okay, I sat there. They loved me. I could prophesy. It wasn't like I've never, that was the only church I ever, well, and I won't say that, but that was most of the places that God has had me go. I've been a blessing the whole time. And I've left without anybody being mad or anything. Because of being led by the Spirit. I would see stuff and I'd do my warfare between me and the Lord and things would happen. But God, you know, I passed my test of being persecuted for righteousness' sake and walking in love. And that's where I learned it at. But these things are strategically done. And so I begin to not personally be able to honor this natural governing or headship, not headship, but part of that. Headship's only between husband and wife and Christ and the church. But just the natural order of things so that it became difficult. So some of you with parenting issues, that's why it's so hard. And if it's so hard, then you feel like a failure or you lose your temper or you just can't do it. This is partly for Teresa. Teresa had horrible parenting. First from natural parents who didn't want her, were also messed up, and then the step-parents or adopted parents, and horrible parenting. And so right now, Teresa's going through a trial where she doesn't want to be a parent. And God gets her past one thing, and she rises up and does okay, and then it hits and hits. Some of you are not going to be able to have the businesses God has for you. If you were hurt, really hurt, by an authority figure in the government of business, then when you really have to start making those decisions, you're not going to be able to do it, or it's going to be too painful. So this is really important. Satan sets this up to stop you. Authority with policemen, authority with ruling people. This is why that rebellion against authority, and we're going to look at these scriptures in a minute, but I'm giving an overview because there's so much. So you don't think it's a big deal. It's not a big deal to go be over the speed limit. It's not a big deal to break little laws. It's just not a big deal. Some people think it's not a big deal to break big laws. And what has happened is there's rebellion in their hearts against the government, against the system that's been placed there to protect us. And maybe they've seen it abused. You watch these policemen beating up people they're arresting on TV, and it's going to provoke you to rebel against a system that allows some of this stuff, or whichever way you want to see it. If he would just get arrested and not fight back, maybe he wouldn't get beat up. All that's between them and God. I'm not trying to make judgments. I'm just saying Satan purposely puts this stuff out there, or we see this stuff, or we see the police not doing anything, or we see where it doesn't seem like it's a fair system. Do you know what I'm saying? And then we begin to rebel against the system. And then that rebellion in our heart, God's got to deal with. How can I get their attention before this rebellion puts them in jail for a long time? How can I get their attention that I'm the one who sets up these governments? And so in 1 Peter, we begin to see these governments. And I really want to have an altar call for all these governments tonight, in the sense of an altar call for every area where you could rebel. Now, before you were born again, whether you want to admit it or not, you were rebelling against God. Before you were born again, everyone in here was a rebel. Okay? So let me read real quick the definition of rebellion. I wish I'd written these other definitions, but I'm not sure, from this really old Bible. Not Bible, but dictionary I have that's really cool, but I couldn't find it. All right, rebellion. Opposition to one in authority or one who's in control or dominance. open-armed defiance and resistance to government. It can be an outbreak against authority, a revolt, goes on. Okay, rebellious. One given to or engaged in rebellion, resisting management. So what is rebellion? Rebellion is where the enemy has hurt you to where you do not want anyone to tell you what to do. And if you judge it, you also don't want to tell anyone what to do. It's a place of totally not wanting to be hurt anymore by people being in charge. And if you go deeper, you don't want God in charge. Satan decided he did not want God to be in charge of him anymore. That was the first rebellion. He then went and stirred up a lot of angels, a third of them, to say, do you want God in charge? Why should God be in charge? Who does he think he is? You know, look at all our gifts and all the stuff we have. We don't need him in charge. And that was rebellion, which led to pride. Pride is being independent from God with your gifts and your talents. Okay? Now, depending on your childhood and depending on what you've been through, some of you have very, very strong spirits of rebellion. And God wants to break part of that. If you've been hurt by white people in leadership, then you could be rebellious just against white people in leadership. If you've been hurt against black people in leadership, or then you could rebel against black people in leadership. I mean, it can go any place where there's a government that you had to submit to and you were abused. So you chose, even if you submit, and let me say this, this is a really good point. You can submit and try to do everything right. You can try to even beat the person at being very passive. It's still rebellion if you don't agree with the system. Okay? It's still rebellion if you try to beat the system. Let me say it this way. Some people begin to figure out the system. Let's say, if I do this, my mom's going to scream and yell. So I'm going to make sure that I don't ever do what causes her to scream and yell. Then I'm still in control. I'm not submitting to the system. I'm actually in charge of outsmarting the system. Well, actually, the truth is we're going to look at all of it's God's system. Because all these governments I'm talking about, and that, I'm just saying that because I don't know whatever word to use. All of these governments, I call anything a government where somebody governs over someone else. All of those we're going to see. That's why we looked at 1 Peter, but there's other places. All of those are God ordained. And what rebellion does is it says, we don't need that. And this is what God showed. When we get to heaven, folks, there's still a governing system. What we're not supposed to have in the kingdom of light is being someone lording it over us. Okay? But what God's showing me, you can't rebel against me and my ways because Satan's perverted them. Because then you throw out what I say there needs to be for my will to be done.